Hey guys, Toolman Tim here. We are back. We are back with three fire starters for another Fireside Freedom podcast. Do this just often enough to not really know how to open these shows, so it's always fun. So how is everybody tonight?
You're doing pretty fantastic. Good.
Fantastic. We all had a little bit of weird weather. How's your weather today, Nate?
It's currently 92 here, and we're expecting anywhere from 80 to 100 mile an hour winds.
Oh,
in the matter of about 2 or 3 hours. So we'll see.
If you happen to drop off during the broadcast, we know where you went.
Yeah. Kansas. Yeah, pretty much. If the repeater kicks up, then we have problems.
Okay. Well, we'll excuse you if need be.
Yeah.
How about you, Ken?
We had 90s and it was so humid. I think I saw a couple fish swimming by, but made it through the day. So it's all good.
So you're going to hate me, but I actually turned my heat on at the house today for a couple of minutes.
I
knew you'd say that. It got really damp today. We actually had a tornado watch, and there was a tornado about an hour west of us. So it was close enough that we were just on the edge of the warning. So we've been keeping an eye, but the weather's been all up and down. And we had the AC on overnight. The house never warmed up today because it was so damn cold out. I just turned it on for about an hour. So I knew you'd appreciate that, Ken.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
So, what has anybody done this week? What's been your big thing? How about we'll start with you, Nate?
Well, I'm putting electric in our shed. I started that yesterday.
How you doing that?
Three or four outlets, a switch, circuit breaker. So going through YouTube University.
Nice.
I would have had it done today had I not found the wasp nest in there.
Did you find it or did it find you?
I found it before it found me, and I am now one can less of wasp spray. So I'm not going anywhere near the shed for a few hours. So, yeah, it was my day today.
Last summer, did any of you guys see a shortage on wasp and bee spray or in general, or was that just no?
Nope.
No, I didn't notice.
Okay, we were horrible up here. We couldn't get it for a while, but it was just another one of those regional shortages, you know?
Yeah.
How about you, Ken? What'd you do this week?
Yeah. So in the past week, I had my in-laws come into town and they helped, you know, so we've started our house last summer and it's been sitting there, this giant framed building, dried in and all, and not much has happened since then. So my in-laws came in this past week and helped me get started on the electrical. And so we got the first floor just about done, wired in all the outlets, the lights, switches, everything like that, and now we're about ready to move up to the second floor.
Nice. So,
yeah, that was a big boost.
That is a big boost, literally and figuratively, right? Yeah. So yeah, I don't, for us, it's more what's coming up, but I spent the whole day, this was a content creation day, so I put together two full episodes, recorded them, uploaded them, did a video for YouTube because I'm going to be gone. I am heading to Calgary tomorrow to pick up my twins and my mom and my dad, who have never been to Alberta. Dad's never flown, never been anywhere in his life outside of the Maritimes, which is Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. So 67 years old, he's pretty friggin' excited, and I'm rather excited to see him. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So our title for tonight is not girls, girls, girls. It's guns, guns, guns.
Oh, man, I'm out then.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ken. I know. We could probably do a little of both, but we might get demonetized or kicked off YouTube or something. So
I hope my wife doesn't watch this.
Yeah, I know. That's all right. So what did I see? Anyway, yeah. What did they say about guns? It's the most fun you can have with your clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Let's start with Nate. How did you get into guns, Nate? Or are you, maybe I should ask you, are you into guns?
We've been probably shooting for 13 or 14 years. First gun we bought was my shotgun, and I bought that when we were in an apartment complex.
Oh boy.
For, you know, basically skeet and bird hunting. It was a A70 pump, and then I bought a 40 Smith & Wesson little concealed firearm because we were going up north to a friend's house, and I wanted something to have on private property up there.
Nice.
So. Yeah, awesome. For me, It was, let's see, I grew up, dad was a hunter, so we always had guns in the house. I remember being 4, 5, 6 years old and just, I was dying for a BB gun. Well, finally, I think it was my 6th birthday. Finally got my little, red nose. It was a Daisy, I don't even remember what kind it was. I think I still have it somewhere around, but it was a 10 pump BB gun.
Okay.
And, oh man, I loved it. So that was my first gun. I grew up around guns. So to say where my first exposure to guns was, I really don't know, but that was my first personal gun.
That's cool. I never thought about, but you reminded me of a story with my BB gun. So yeah, that was, I grew up same. My dad, we rabbit hunted a lot in Nova Scotia. It was always one of the earliest memories would be, you know, getting on as many layers of clothes as you could, trudging down through a foot of snow. You'd borrow my uncle's rabbit hounds and you'd climb a tree. Dad would have his 12 gauge and I would just be up the tree with him, and you'd hear the dogs go. And as the dogs would come, the rabbits would be in front of it and you'd try to shoot them. And I always enjoyed it. But as far as BB guns go, I think I was 10 and I saved up for mine. They had it at the local Home Hardware where I ended up working later on. Mom said I could have one if I saved up my money, and I don't remember what it was, $30 or $40. I still have the box, although I lost the cover to the box, and I still have the gun. I have nothing else. Like, I was not good at keeping things, but anyway, I bought it. I went home. I was target practicing in the backyard, and I remember I seen this little tiny birdie, and he was sitting on the window ledge of my grandmother's shop, and I lined up, and I was not a good shot. I thought, I'll never hit that. I hit that bird and killed it one shot, and I went into the house just crying to Mom. I just killed a bird. So, yeah, it wasn't quite as bad as you'll shoot your eye out, but it was still funny. You know, any certain particular memories attached to guns for, I know you said, you know, but anything you remember there? Can we start with you, Ken, or?
Well, I was just trying to think of what some of the dumbest things I've ever done with a gun.
That would be fun. Go with that.
Yeah. Well, nothing dangerous on this one. I was out popping with one of my dad's 22s, just shooting stuff up. I don't know, finding old cans and shooting them. And I happened to see this bird come down and land on the power line. I don't know, maybe 75 yards off. And I'm like, I wonder if I can hit that thing. This was I think you could get 18 bullets in it. It was the one that the bullets go in the little barrel and slide down.
Yeah.
And so I just tried to line up and started shooting until the thing dropped. And after it dropped, I was like, you know, what if I had busted the power line? That would have been really stupid. I was maybe 12 at the time. But thankfully nothing happened. But that was one of the earlier memories I have of doing something stupid with a gun.
I like that. How about you, Nate? Did you have any young
first time I shot a gun, it was a 12 gauge shotgun, and I was probably 12 years old. And it was up at one of my dad's friend's place during deer season. I don't remember the guy's name, but it was somewhere in Virginia, maybe. Just got cold, or is it? No, it was Ohio, is where it was. Just gotten cold, deer season. He'd shot a deer the night before, so we had to go out and find it. Then afterwards, we found it, and then he taught me how to shoot a shotgun after we found the deer.
Oh, that's cool.
Did it put you on your ass the first time, or not too bad?
No, but it hurt.
Yeah. I remember, it's funny. It's pretty cool. I love telling gun stories, but yeah, I had a buddy named Jason in elementary school. I was probably 11 or 12, maybe 11. I can't remember him. We used to go and partridge and pheasant hunting was big back there. And it was the earliest season. So it was like October it was in October. So the weather was usually still really nice. And I'd always go hunting with him. And one time he said, "Hey, do you want to hike over to my uncle's place?" And I, sure, why not? So we took a couple of guns with us, and it was like, if you walked it on the road, it would have been probably 3 or 4 miles, but we went through the woods. We were all day, but I remember it had just been after a big rainstorm, and we came across this, what's normally a stream, was like a raging river that if you'd have stepped in, your ass would have been grass. You'd have been done. There was a submerged car with the roof, you know, up there. It was about 3 feet over on one side and 3 feet the other. So we decided we'd jump. We never fell in, but I always thought afterwards, Jesus, if we'd ever fell into that, nobody ever would have found us. But yeah, I don't know. And then I always what's that?
I said the things we do for fun.
Oh. He's the same guy. We used to cut apart 12 gauge shells and we'd take the powder that's in there, you know, and we'd light it on fire in his bedroom and we'd shoot a 22 through three or four layers of binders to see how many it would take for it to get through. And just
nice.
Stupid. Yeah. Never. I mean, I guess it was dumb, but not stupid. You know, never hit the primer caps with a hammer or anything like that. But, you know, how about sentimental value? You guys got any certain firearms that mean a lot to you?
Yeah, I do.
What you got, Nate?
I have a couple from my great grandfather.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I will. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
That's cool.
That is really cool. How about you, Ken?
I'm trying to think if I have any that go back that far. I personally don't have any yet that go back that far. Dad's got a few from his grandpa, maybe from his great grandpa. I think from his grandpa. So it'd be my great granddad.
Wow.
Which I don't know him, but eventually they'll be mine. That's cool. I guess the one what I would currently have would be my first non-BB gun. It's a youth model 870 20 gauge. And so, yeah, I'd have done some little bit of deer hunting when I was younger. We bought that when we lived actually in Illinois when I was 10. No rifles up there. Now, I grew up in Georgia. We could have rifles. And so when we moved to Illinois, ended up buying the shotgun so I could go deer hunting with Dad, which I never went up there. But that's probably the first gun that I got that I still have that still works, if that makes any sense.
So did you say no rifles?
Yeah, there's no rifles for deer hunting up in Illinois.
Why is that?
I don't know, to be honest. I'm sure there's some stupid reason. It's
got all the wide open fields. I mean, it's like you're going to have a few hundred yard shot, but maybe that's the reason is because there's houses and no backstop. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be the thought process. They are going to allow single shot firearms above a 243.
Okay.
And that's going to be this deer season. They'll allow that.
Is that black powder, or will this just be single?
Oh, that'll be center fire rifle.
Okay.
I didn't even know they make single shot.
Yeah, I was wondering.
What's the point?
Oh, okay.
Can you just take one? Can you just take a regular one and only put one bullet in it?
Single shot.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, because even in Nova Scotia where I grew up, I mean, it was common to, you know, everybody deer hunted with a rifle out there. And I mean, you're not. It's a small, what is it, 100 kilometers? You're never more than 100 kilometers from the water. So it's not like you're, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah.
But so are there such things as single shot center fire rifles? I mean, I guess there must be some, but.
There are a few, but they're few and far between. I don't know of any brands off the top of my head, but I was talking to a hunter locally. He said there might be 5 or 6 available.
Wow. Yeah. So I want, will they, now I know like for, fowl hunting or like goose and duck and that kind of stuff up here, you can put a plug in your cylinder or in your whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? To make it, cause I forget exactly. I've never duck hunted here, but you're only allowed so many shells. Would they let you do that? Or probably not. Eh?
It's same with a shotgun. And for deer season, it's only, you're limited to 3 rounds in the gun. So you got to put that plug in there.
Okay. Yes, sir. But as far as with the center fire rifle, they won't let you plug
it. I don't think so. It's got to be a, you know, single shot. That's how the law is written.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, as far as my sentimental, what's that?
I said they make it hard on you.
Yeah.
It's Illinois. I mean,
it works. I mean, I always joke, but Chicago's a gun free zone, and that's worked for years, right?
Yeah, it's worked real good.
Well, for me, my dad got out of hunting. I don't know, probably in his early 50s. And he had all of his grandfather or his father's guns. So I ended up getting most of them. Up here in Canada, a common practice in the late 90s, early 2000s, we had the gun registry. So at one time you had to legally register all the long guns. And so what ended up happening with almost everybody's family long guns is they just sat in the attic for a decade because nobody wanted to use them. Nobody took them anywhere. And then eventually they repealed the long gun registry. So blah, blah, blah.
Everybody brought them back out.
Yeah. So exactly. But yeah, I inherited I've got my grandfather's beautiful single shot 12 gauge that he used for rabbit hunting. It was beautiful. And then I've got an old beaten up 20 gauge that, Dad used a lot as well for rabbit hunting, but mostly the 12. And then Dad always used a 30-30 for deer hunting because in Nova Scotia, I mean, 100-yard shot, maybe 150 would be all there was. And it's just a beautiful, it even smells like an old gun. You know, you pick that up and it's got that, I don't know, greasy wood smell mixed with, you know, the powder, whatever it is. I don't know anyway, but it's, yeah, those mean the world to me because they're, yeah. And then my first 22, I didn't have much money. It was soon after Becky and I got married and I saved up and I bought a 22 with crooked sights for about $80 from a guy. And it was all I could afford. I was so proud of it. It was really neat because it was before I'd inherited all of Dad's old guns. And so I had that, but it means a lot when you buy something early on, when it's the only thing you can afford, it sits with you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right. That was one of my recent pickups, was a 22 bolt action for the kids.
Nice. And I
start teaching them. I wanted a bolt action instead of a semi-auto, so they actually learn how to shoot the firearm instead of just walking out there and unloading a bunch of shots.
I like that for the kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always
for them. Oh, it is for the kids. But I might use it every once in a while to go get a squirrel or two.
I bought my wife a 22 here for her birthday a few years back, too.
Yeah.
Has she used it?
She has, actually. Funny story. So I tried to teach her how to use it when I first got it for her. And she's like, yeah, I'm kind of scared of guns. I don't really want to learn how to shoot it. And so I just let it go. I just set it in the closet. Well, we had just gotten chickens. And one day the squirrels were out stealing chicken food. And she calls me up. It's like, them squirrels are out there stealing our chicken food. How do I shoot that gun?
Oh, wow.
So I walked her through it over the phone, told her how to do it, said, now make sure that you're shooting away, like not towards houses or cars or anything. She's like, yeah, I know. A minute later, she texted me a couple pictures, like two shots, two squirrels.
These are
probably 35, 40-yard shots, and she had never really shot before. And
nice.
She's probably a better shot with a rifle than I am.
So we don't have any women on the panel tonight. And of course, there's no women listening at all, I promise. But have you guys ever noticed it seems like women tend to be better shots than men?
Okay.
Yeah.
So the military has actually done a study on this.
Okay.
Women are better shot than men.
Really?
It is. I
believe it.
Many, many times. But to save my own ass, I will not repeat the rest of the study that it has found.
Okay. But all I can say is whenever I take, like, I shoot way more than Becky does, and I know this is a very small sample, but whenever I take her, that man, she can shoot. There's just no getting around it. I don't know why that is, but Martinson family says Ashley's in the room with me. So yeah, you guys are all, I don't know. Yeah, I just, it's for the most part, overall, most women seem to be better shooters are better shots than men, and I don't know why that is, but it's cool, you know.
They're better at focusing on one issue than men are.
I can see that. I all kidding aside, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I'm really good at taking in the whole picture, but not really focusing on anything in particular. So yeah.
It's not a whole lot of fun to be outshot though by your wife.
No, yeah. I just smile and say,
he's got to get better.
Nice shot. Good luck. Beginner's luck.
She's like, well, don't worry. She says, I keep your balls in my purse anyway. So it's no
matter. Would you like a look at your man card?
Yeah. You can have it for 5 minutes a week. I'm really proud. So how about, so if you guys had, I put it three guns, the three guns, if you had to pick three guns, all you could own was three guns. You can either go caliber or whatever you want to go with. But what would you have to have? You want to start, Ken?
Yeah, sure. I'm having to live this because I lost all my others in a boating accident. So the three guns that if I could choose which three I ended up with, that the others I didn't lose, I'd have to go with a 22 game, I'd probably go with a 12 gauge shotgun, which okay. I personally like the Smith and Wesson. I think it's the 1100 model. I okay. love those shotguns. It's a semi-automatic. Oh man. Oh, yes. Yeah. No, it's a semi-auto. They are a sweet shooting gun.
Nice.
Yeah, they're hard to find actually. And I'm not sure if I would go with what rifle I'd go with. I'd probably stick with my AR. It's just a lot of fun.
Stop rubbing it in.
And I mean, this, you know, mine I built, so you know, it's a lot of fun to shoot. But I think those would be the three. Be a 22, probably a rifle over a handgun. Just if I could only have three.
Yep.
I don't know. Handguns are handy, but rifles are more practical a lot of times.
Yeah, I get it.
Those would be my three.
How about you, Nate?
22 rifle with a scope.
Okay. A
45 subcompact pistol. And an 5.56. Doesn't matter if it's an AR or deer rifle, but definitely a 5.56.
See, I can't have a black AR 5.56, but I can have a black 223.
Yeah.
Go figure. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. So why the 45, Nate?
Because that's what I carry.
Okay, and you're comfortable. You like it. You know it.
Yeah, I always carry. So a friend of mine sent me this.
What is that? Okay. Oh, Cook County compliant. Is it pinned?
Cook County candy. Or compliant candy.
Oh, yeah. That's
and no, it is not pinned.
Okay. So at the moment, I'm going to just throw in randomly as we go about, you know, how oppressed I am up here in Canada, but that's besides the point. But pretty much all rifle, is it magazines? Is that the right word I'm using there? Are pinned at five, have to be pinned at five, and handguns have to be pinned at 10. But they've got new legislation in that they have to be permanently modified to five or permanently modified to 10. I don't know what the hell that means. I don't think Trudeau knows what the hell that means, but that's the latest thing. So
fill the bottom of it in with some kind of epoxy or something.
I don't know. I just won't say anything that'll get me in trouble. So,
right.
But for me, I mean, number one's got to be a 12 gauge. I mean, they're pretty friggin' versatile as far as that goes. I mean, home defense. Well, not anyway. We wouldn't do home defense in Canada, but if you needed it for home defense and it were legal, then yes, you'd use home defense. I mean, what, you know, with a slug, you can drop a deer at what, 70 yards, probably, I guess 50 yeah. yards anyway. And bird hunting, small game. I mean, what can't you do with a 12 gauge? They're incredible, right? And yeah, so a 12 gauge for sure, a 22, a 10, 10-22. Those are I don't own any of them. I cheaped out, but I have to get one. I'll sell my other one to get a 10-22 because they're everywhere, right? And
you won't regret it.
Yeah, I've been told. Oh yeah, and they're even those have to be pinned to like 25 rounds up here or something like that. But 25 is still pretty good. But whatever. So yeah, 12 gauge, 22, and then probably honestly something in a 9mm. I love my high point 9mm carbine. I just love that. It looks every bit as scary as a black AR, and the thing is so goddamn fun to shoot. Like just beautifully fun to shoot. I don't know. It would either be that or my I've got a I can't think of it. But I got a 9mm handgun that is a knockoff of one of the bigger ones. Not a Glock, but the
Taurus.
What is it?
Taurus.
Yeah. It's a beautiful gun. I love it. It's a lot of fun to shoot, but
The knockoff of the Beretta.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. But I think if I had to pick, it would probably be my 9mm carbine. That thing is just, oh, you can shoot that. It's got a nice, not that it needs it, but a little spring recoil in the shoulder. And I mean, it's every bit as scary. I mean, I know a 9mm doesn't have the stopping power as a 5.56, but
if you get the right rounds, they do.
I was just going to say that. So if you went and bought, which is still legal, like hollow point, I forget what I've got right now, but there is some of those for really, and they do, they have a really good stopping power. So yeah, I like them.
You mean so those?
Yeah. That type. That's exactly what mine look like. They're even painted blue or something on the end. But. So what about, I'm a big fan of standardization in just about anything, whether it's mason jars, gas cans, solar batteries, whatever it has. And how about power tools? How about standardization and calibers? Are you guys, is that a big thing you guys put any concern into or thought into?
No.
At this point, yeah. I probably wouldn't buy anything outside of the five or six I have, different calibers. Specific calibers, I have a Marlin 44 mag, and then a couple of years back, I bought an Uberti six shooter 44 mag as well. I don't shoot that one too much. Yes, it's a lot of fun, like an old cowboy gun.
Wait, nice. What was the first one before that?
Marlin.
Yeah. So is one a, one with a clip and one with a revolver? Or are they?
No, both? They're no. The one's a revolver. The other one feeds in the side.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
It's a magazine. Not
magazine. Clip. Whatever. I live in Canada. I don't get to know all those. Yeah. Yeah. I knew you'd give me a.
Tell him, Nate. So that was. Yeah, at this point, I probably wouldn't buy anything outside of the calibers I do have, unless, you just came across a really good deal that you can't pass up.
Yeah, we got Sean Yunton here. He says standardized cartridges only matter for high volume shooting.
It does. That
I can makes see sense. That. Now, here's my I like to focus. I like to narrow things down, right? So, I've got a 12, a 22, the ones that I normally shoot. And that I have for other reasons, 12, 22, the 308 and the 9mm. Those are my four. And so I think there's enough guns out there that I can basically buy anything that I want on one of those four calibers. So I don't have, because what I ended up doing was a few years ago, I took a trade on some Tokarev handguns and there's some weird metric bullet. I don't know what they are. I got 1,000 rounds with them.
9x18.
Yeah, that could be it.
It's not quite a 380, but it's so your standard 9mm is 9x19.
Okay.
The Makarov round is a 9x18.
Okay. Yeah, that probably is it. I've probably only put 20 rounds through the guns.
Yeah.
And so I went to trade them in or sell them at a gun shop here about a month ago before all this stuff even had the new laws they passed. I was all ready to trade them in because I just had no interest in them. The ammo is hard to find. They're not a lot of fun anyway. And I went to trade them in and they're like, there was a technical issue with one of the registrations. So I couldn't. And that's it. 7.62x25. That it's a different one. I can't show. It's a Tokarev, not a Makarov. It's, what is it? Ukrainian guns, Russian guns. I can find the round after, but yeah. Oh, or yeah, 7.62x25 Tokarev. Sean brought it up there. Yeah, that's it. It's a little different, but it's they're okay. I like them, but I'd rather just trade them in and get I was going to trade them in and get a Glock or two because I really, really want a Glock, but now I don't know if I'll ever be able to own one. So that's another story.
Yeah, if you move to Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Absolutely. That's half the reason, At least 6 months of the year I could enjoy myself down there.
Right.
Yeah, you're driving. Oh, that might have stayed in my car. I'm sorry, officer.
Oh my no, you'd never want to. Oh my God. They put me in jail for years. I couldn't even imagine. It happens all the time, like legitimately.
Yeah.
For Americans coming up here, they don't even think about it, right? Or they
so
say
I want to know how you would get going from the U.S. through Canada to Alaska.
Yep. So there's paperwork you file ahead of time. And as long as they're from what I understand, because this happens a lot, guys come from Canada or from the States and then travel through here to go to Alaska for hunting. Yeah. Right. So you can bring your guns through. You need to get a permit ahead of time, of course, and then they need to be stored to whatever Canadian standards are while you drive through Alberta to get to BC or to get to Alaska. But yeah, it is possible, but it's paperwork and stuff you need to do ahead of time a little bit from what I've been told.
Yeah. Cause Canada or Alaska has no rules.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's pretty much fair game up there.
If you flew, you'd be all set, of course. Right.
But
I'd go by land.
I'd much rather drive and take in the views.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it is totally doable. At least, there's no, as long as you're just transporting through, it's legal from what I've been told. Yeah. You just have to follow certain storage guidelines, but
Yeah, I mean, it might cost you $2,000 worth of fuel now, but.
We have a lot of Americans who come up here for like Canadian goose hunting and that sort of stuff. And from Texas, I see plates from Texas and Minnesota a lot, those two. So I think it's the same guys that come every year, but it's a big crowd of them and they spend a lot of money here. And oh man, the money they have on decoys and blinds. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. It'd be okay, but it's not my cup of tea. I like deer hunting. In Nova Scotia, are you guys allowed to bait where you live?
Nope.
I can't remember if we are in Kentucky. Okay. I know where I lived in Georgia, they weren't able to. And then right about the time we moved, they changed that. One of my next door neighbors became head over the, whatever you call that, Georgia Outdoors Division, the hunting, fish and wildlife or something. And he,
game one of
the first things he did was change that.
That's cool.
Made so you could bait deer. So like, I can't remember how it is in Kentucky though.
Now in Nova, it's totally illegal to bait deer in Alberta, but in Nova Scotia where I grew up, it was totally legal. So when I'd ask people like, what do you bait with? They look at you like, what the hell are you talking about? Because you know, but in Nova Scotia, I mean, you could hunt years and never see a deer. The only time you'd see him would be on your game cam because the woods is so thick. And, you know, so we would bait with carrots or apples out there. But it was cool because you could also, it was kind of neat. You'd get like drop apples from the, you know, from the different places, the orchards and that sort of thing. And if you bought them early enough, you could turn them into cider. So you'd save a lot of money. Or carrots. Yeah. The carrots were just the ugly ones, right? Like the, you know, the short and weird looking ones. So I'd buy 2 or 3 bags of them every year and can them up and save a lot of money that way. But yeah, totally able to bait there. What about you guys? We just started getting wild hogs up here. I don't know how that happened, but you got some down your way, Ken?
We don't, not here in Kentucky, or not in my area of Kentucky.
Really?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm surprised y'all would have them that far north.
I know. They put a bounty on them.
We don't have them here.
You don't have them?
Not yet. They've been spotted in southern Illinois, but not up here.
Hmm.
I don't know how they managed up this way, but I mean, we're kind of a tall province. I mean, we got rattlesnakes south of the Red Deer River. So in little tiny cactus, they don't get very big, but it's kind of cool. I don't know how they got here, but if Chris is listening, he could probably correct me, but I want to say an hour and a half, 2 hours away, they had a bounty on them. There's that many of them now. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's kind of neat. I'd love to go hog hunting sometime. I think it'd be quite fun.
We get a bunch of coyote where we're at. There's probably 10 or 15 running around in the fields behind the house.
Is it kind of open season there for them or no?
All year, 24/7, doesn't matter.
That's a big, they call them coyotes up here. Just the weird kind of local pronunciation. But yeah, the big things to go coyote hunting, which is, you know, driving around on the grid roads and off into the fields. And my brother-in-law has a really good 223 he uses for that. And he's had a lot of good luck with them.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, that's the same as a 5.56, and they've got more reach than the, or well, okay. Pretty damn close.
No, but.
Yes, I know. Might as well say. But yeah, the reach of those rounds is really good. They'll jump out and grab you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're out 400 yards.
The first time, this is a funny story. First time I ever shot a 223, my brother-in-law, because I didn't know, I was a complete idiot. And I thought 223 must be fairly similar to a 22. I had no idea. So when I fired it, oh boy, that was loud. I mean, not a lot of kick, but just really, really loud. It kind of shocked me because I just expect a little pop like a 22, right? And nope.
You don't feel it, but you hear it.
Oh yeah. Man, that thing. Oh, I was like, I guess I should have wore ear protection. Have you guys, any of you guys ever introduced someone else to the joys of shooting guns?
My wife, Erin.
Yeah. Had she never, did she grow up in a gun family?
Nope.
The opposite of a gun family?
No, they now own firearms. But it took them, we bought our first firearms 12 years ago.
Okay.
Probably. And they just bought theirs like 2 years ago, I think. Like their handgun.
What brought them around? Just protection or for...
2020.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I got. I mean, it's really 2020.
Yeah. Well, sorry. How about you, Ken?
For me, two people that I can think of, my wife and then my now next door neighbor.
Okay.
and in completely different manners. So my wife, I just introduced her to shooting, but she still is a little tentative to shoot. Like, it's not something that she loves to do. My next door neighbor is a better story. I think possums were out stealing our chickens. And so one night there was one out in the chicken house. So I ran back in, grabbed my 223 and went out, chased the thing down through the woods and shooting as I ran. Well, he wasn't too impressed. He actually sent the game warden to my house. He was cussing out my wife the next day and all kinds of stuff because you shouldn't be out shooting. I think he thought I was shooting like a 357 or I don't know what he came up with. But so, and yeah, completely different instances. I introduced a couple different people to the joys of gun ownership.
Did the neighbor ever come around or no?
I don't know. We don't have a whole lot to do with them.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
We may or may not have given a raccoon a dirt nap at this house.
Oh, I've done a few of those.
Three in the last 2 weeks.
We're in village limits, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We may or may not have done that.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
Confirm nor deny.
Do you guys have skunks in your area?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Yes, unfortunately.
So where I lived before we moved out here, my next door neighbor had really nice grass, like just beautiful, took good care of it. Nice. And skunks like grubs. And so they'll roll the sod back to get their nose under it and they roll it and make horrible messes. So I was working late evenings, early, like from till about 1:30 in the morning, I was working doing phone sales at home. And so I'd get a half hour break in the middle of the night or the middle of my shift. And he said, listen, if you want to go over every night and take a look, if you can find skunks, he says, you shoot them and I'll get rid of them in the morning. Okay, no problem. So I'd go over, always had my 20 gauge. I love the 20 gauge because it didn't have a lot of kick and it had a nice wide spread. It was like, what's the opposite of full choke? No choke, I guess, or whatever. You know, it was a open, good wide, yeah, open choke. Yeah. So it would spread really good. And yeah, it was fun. So 4 or 5 times I'd go over there, shoot. And the crazy thing was they didn't have like, it was an old house. They never once heard me shoot. There was times I'd shoot within 15 feet of their bedroom window. Never heard. Every morning he'd get up and he'd find a dead skunk out on his lawn. So anyway, one night we were out and there was a raccoon out there and I brought my 12 gauge with me instead of my 20. And the 20, of course, would spread, you know, within 10, 15 feet was a good enough spread, right? Well, the 12 gauge was a modified choke, so it would keep the pellets together quite a bit. So we shot a raccoon probably 15 feet away in a tree and there was no spread at all. And you can just imagine the poor thing. And I felt quite bad because it didn't, you know, if there was spread, it would have done away with it right away. But where it all went in one spot, he suffered until I had to finish him. But So it was fun. We were always, one night, an owl got in our chicken coop and I was going to shoot. And then I realized that my neighbor's car was parked right behind where the owl was. So I thought, I better not do that. So I threw a big rock, hit the owl in the head. He shook it off and then flew away. So I don't know. Owls are stupid.
Did the skunks spray everything that they had after you shoot them?
Usually not too bad. They would stink, but it wouldn't let go. They would just, you would take them up. Like he would go with a shovel in the morning, slide them on the shovel and then carry them up over the hill. And we'd leave them up there to rot. And they, you know, they would stink, but not like if they sprayed right on you. So that was kind of cool, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't scare the shit out of them or something. I mean,
we spent probably $500 with a trapper at our old house in Bolingbrook.
Okay.
That's about an hour southeast of here where we're at now. And we were not able to relocate them. So we had to pay a trapper to come in and catch them. Because the village wasn't going to deal with it. So, yeah.
Really?
It was, $200 to set the trap and $150 per catch.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And then he'd relocate them, would he?
Yeah, into the dirt.
Relocate them.
Yeah, because you're not allowed to relocate raccoons in this state.
Okay.
No, raccoons and skunks.
You're not allowed
to relocate skunks.
Huh.
We don't have any raccoons here. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You got raccoons, Ken?
We do. I've dispatched 3 of them in the last 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And I have a skunk I need to take care of.
Well, where I worked at Home Hardware on the East Coast, there was a guy there named Mark. He was a trapper. The only trapper I'd ever met in my life. And he trapped for furs. He did okay, but it was more of a passion thing. Mm-hmm. But he also would occasionally take care of nuisance animals as well. And so his big thing was he did skunks. I couldn't believe he did it. But anyway, red Doritos, so the nacho Doritos were the best bait he ever found.
Huh.
And I said, well, weren't you ever scared that, you know, it would spray? He'd have a fairly small trap. So when they'd get inside the trap, they couldn't lift their tail to spray. And he'd sneak up behind it, cover it with a blanket, then throw it. He had an old tracker, like an old Jeep or whatever, put it in the back. And then he would take the entire cage and throw it in a lake. Yep. I hope this does not get us in trouble. But anyway, he said he'd wait until the oils would rise to the top, you know, in the water. And then that was it. So yeah, he was really, it was crazy what he would do, but I have no interest in catching a skunk. I can tell you that.
No, you're not. I'm not going to try and catch one here. If I do, there's going to be a 22 going off at about 50 feet away.
Yeah. As far as joys of guns, my kids, every one of my kids I've introduced to guns and they love them. Charlotte, I took her out one day with I started her on the 22 and then I got her on the 9mm handgun. She had a lot of fun with that.
Nice.
It's kind of funny. I always wanted the 410. So I ended up buying a 410 like 5-6 years ago, thinking the kids would like it. Never shot it for like 3-4 years, finally took them out and it still had a little too much kick for the girls at the time. They didn't really like it. So we've probably only ever put about 10 rounds through it, but now Charlotte loves the 9mm carbine, just loves that. And she's had a lot of fun. My older kids, I got them into shooting a little later in life. And then my daughter, Olivia, a couple of her boyfriends, she's brought around and we've had them shooting. And her man wants to come down now and do some shooting at the range with me. So I'm pretty excited. I love getting people to shoot for the first time.
Nice. Yeah, we've taken the girls out behind the house and shot 22s with them. We do a gingerbread shoot every year where we go shoot the gingerbread houses after Christmas. Yeah. So we throw them out, you know, throw them out there. What is it, like the second week in January, and just bring like 100 rounds of 22 out and let the girls go to town on them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was the video that got taken down off of TikTok. Us showing them.
Really? What? Cause there were, so is TikTok kids? Completely no guns at all?
Supposedly it was endangering minors.
Oh,
but they were wearing ear protection, eye protection, and we were teaching them how to shoot. So go for that.
That's the blanket term they use to get anybody. Anytime somebody complains, like from what I've understood, my daughter's told me this about TikTok, is all it takes is one person to complain about endangering minors, one or not in your video, and they'll just take it off like that. So
I thought it was the second gingerbread one. Maybe it wasn't. Aaron commented it wasn't the gingerbread one.
Oh, okay. Oh, whatever. Right. Yeah. But something to do with kids and guns, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Martinson family said the kids get 410 break actions for their first birthday. That's awesome.
Mine got a BB gun for three days after she was born, I went out and bought a BB gun for my oldest.
Nice. What a proud dad, hey?
And yes, it is a pink Red Ryder.
It's a pink Red Ryder?
It's a pink Red Ryder.
That's cool. You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah,
you guys like that movie? What is that? Christmas Story?
Yep. I love that movie.
I always remember, you know, where he sticks his tongue to the pole and then he goes and he asks Santa, and Santa says, what do you want? And he goes on that long spiel about, single action, something or other. Yeah. I always enjoyed that. Aaron said grandparents came and did this year's gingerbread shoot.
Yeah. I got to do that. Their 9mm.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
So what about you guys ever, obviously, when you're teaching somebody new, what are some of the tips you guys kind of try to remember or keep in, things that you never forget when you're teaching someone?
Pay somebody else to do it.
That's how I feel about teaching my kids how to drive.
That's not bad advice.
No, it's not
bad. So I try to teach Aaron how to shoot. And
oh no.
reality came down to it where I would much rather pay the retired Marine in town $500 for 4 hours of his time to teach Aaron how to shoot a firearm. Because he's going to do a better job and she's going to listen better to that person than she is going to listen to me. That's just reality.
That's in more, I know this is fiction, but in more books that I've read, that I've heard that topic come up where husbands quite often get someone else to teach their wives or vice versa. Just simply, yeah, I can get it.
Yeah.
I was lucky. Becky had already been taught by her dad, so she was a pretty good shooter anyway. But when we go, I mean, there's nothing that isn't competition, whether it's Monopoly or shooting. So you guys ever do much for skeet shooting?
Oh, I love skeet shooting. It used to be a Thanksgiving tradition, but it hasn't happened in a few years.
It's fun, hey? We don't do it. I went and bought one, probably 7-8 years ago. We've probably only used it 3 or 4 times, but, it's so much fun.
Yeah, and I need to go buy a youth 20 gauge for Aaron. And
like shorter or just?
Yeah, it's because she's got a shorter pull for their arms.
Yep.
So a youth 20 would work out really good with her. Okay. She can't shoulder my 12 gauge.
Fair enough.
70 pump, there's no way. But if I were to go get her like a youth 20 gauge, that'd be no problem for her.
Hey, next time y'all come through, swing by and she can try mine out, see if she likes it.
Our neighbor has one. We've done it a couple of times. Because I have a throwing machine that's bolted to a wagon. We just go out back, throw, I don't know, 100 birds and bring 200 shells and have fun.
Do you ever worry about cleaning that up after, or do you just leave it? I know it's clay, but...
biodegradable.
Okay. Because where we shot a few times at my brother-in-law's, it's where the cattle would go in afterwards. They were always a little concerned about the cattle's like cutting their hooves or anything on it. But do you know, ever heard much about that? Or
they're as fragile as eggs. If you drop a box.
Yeah.
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 That's
you don't want to drop them.
No.
Yeah.
It's the most disappointing day ever.
Have you ever bought a box that not you didn't have a single broken one in it? Because they yes. I always yeah. Wow. That's pretty good.
One of the times we went, we bought it was 1,000 rounds, and I bought probably 800 shells.
Okay.
I got a picture of my old Ford Focus, and there's four cases of ammo in there, and the rest of it is packed with clay pigeons.
Really?
Not a single. I think there might have been one broken one in the entire set.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Wow.
That's really good.
That was that was a very long several hours, and our arms were very, very sore.
So what with a youth 20, is it a shorter barrel or a shorter stock or both?
Shorter stock.
Okay. So just and get with, up in
and
better.
With the 20 gauge, it's less recoil.
Mm. Absolutely. I love 20 gauge are good.
Yeah.
So my 20 gauge, my son thought it was a break open and wasn't. Yeah, so it needs to go to the gunsmith to be repaired. I mean, okay, it is a break open, but I think what he thought was it was supposed to break open further than it did. I'm not sure what happened, but it hasn't been fired in over a decade. I got to get it fixed. I just haven't bothered. You know, it's something, one of the few things I don't want to tackle myself because there's so much that just wouldn't, could go wrong with that. You know? Have you guys ever tried those slide over shoulder protectors? So it's like a rubber with a little bit of space in them that goes on the butt of your gun. Sometimes they say they'll help.
I've tried.
Did you try one?
Yeah, I tried it for my 6.5, but I'm a smaller guy anyway, so it put it out just a little bit out of reach, so it was uncomfortable. So I just deal with the pain.
Yeah, I get it. I found one in a house that I cleaned up one day. I kept it. I've never used it. I just often wondered if it would make a difference, but
it definitely made a difference, but it just lengthened the stock too much for me.
You guys both right-handed shooters?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a lefty.
I have the, it's the pad for the synthetic 870.
Hmm.
It's the real squishy one. That's what I put on my wood stock. And gotcha. I have no problem doing 600 rounds on that thing in one day for 12 gauge.
Yes, sir.
And then for a Mosin Nagant, I don't use anything other than what it comes with. And I'll do probably 10 or 15 rounds through that in a day. Cause that thing kicks.
So I'll be stupid. What is, I mean, I've heard the name, but what is that or what's special?
It's about that? The one I have is a 9130 Mosin Nagant. So that is the Russian rifle that you used to be able to get for like 80 or 90 bucks. It's the surplus World War II rifles.
It used to be everywhere at one time.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
What's the ammo like to find?
7.62 by 54R. They're pretty prevalent.
Okay.
Full cases. You used to be able to get full cases for like $100.
Were they the ones that are like, you got to open them with a can opener, or were they the one?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Are they packed with grease in there too, or are they just?
I don't think so.
Okay. Cause I've seen some that, like old stuff that was, that's cool. Yeah. Martins and family said, how did your cheek feel after that much trap?
Fine.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah. I don't usually have a problem. I mean, I got a little bit of a bruise. You feel it the next day, but usually you're pretty good.
Was watching a movie a while ago. It had Jeremy Renner in it. I can't think of what it was. It took place up in, it was really far north in the U.S., really cold area. But he had is it 4570? Is that right?
Yeah, 4570 government.
Oh, my God. That thing had, I'm sure it was souped up for the movie, but I had to look it up because that was a powerful gun. I was quite impressed.
Mm-hmm. I've always wanted one of those.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. I would, what's the word for it? I would probably slide off on my standardization rule to get something like that. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What do you, so what's your deer hunting caliber? Either you guys have a deer hunting caliber or do you have a preference?
Crossbow.
Okay. Really? Talk about your crossbow. Or
just
talk about
it. And I have not shot it much, but I cannot draw anything over 40 pounds due to my shoulder. So I ended up buying a crossbow this year just to make it a little bit easier.
Did you buy a crank one or how does yours draw back?
No, it's got the cocking mechanism that you pull up on two arms. It's like 175 pound, but I can't do the standard pull back. My shoulder's shot. So
something I've never done is bow hunting.
Yeah. I've always wanted to try. Do you have a separate bow hunting season where you live, Nate?
October 1st to January 19th, usually.
Okay, so you get a little bit on the front end and a little on the back, probably?
You get all pretty much in between there, and then your shotgun is only like 4 weekends, so like maybe 10 days.
Really? So you can't even hunt during the week?
No. Wow. Okay. It's like a Tuesday through a Monday, then like 2 weeks – or like 2 weekends and then another like Tuesday through a Monday.
Okay.
So it comes out to like 10 or 15 days.
Ours was always the full month of November in Nova Scotia. And it's the full month of November here too. How about you, Ken?
You know, I'm not even sure. I know our bow season is kind of like Nate's, I think 1st of October, roughly around there through sometime in January. And then we only have 10 days of rifle season.
Really?
I'm not sure what the black powder and shotgun is. I don't deer hunt with those. I usually just wait for the rifle season and then half the time I'm gone anyway.
Yeah, so. I know.
It's only 10 days. I was spoiled down in Georgia. We had like 3 months of rifle season down there. So
do you guys have a minimum caliber, Ken, for rifles?
I think we do. I'm not sure what it is. I mean, you couldn't go out with a 22 or anything. But I'm not sure what our minimum caliber is.
Okay. Because I think up here, I think the minimum is 243, so they get away from the guys going out with the 223s.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm not sure what ours is.
Alberta is a hunter's paradise here. I mean, Nova Scotia is barely anything. And up here, you know, everything's grain-fed for starters, so it's tender as all get-out. But I'll be a little wrong on the dates, but I mean, we have the deer season, we have muley deer and white-tailed deer here. So you can usually get a tag. You can definitely get a tag for muley deer, and about every second year you'll get drawn for white-tail as well. So, and then you've got moose. There's a ton of moose around here. I believe that season runs the same. I think about every 2 years you can get a female, and then I forget anyway, but, and it's quite a bit harder to get a bull moose tag, but oh man, that's tender meat. And we've got antelope, and we've got, what are the other ones? There's five or six big game animals up here that are just, yeah, there's some neat little, they're cool. It's neat. You see them all over the place. And of course there's very little room for them to hide around here either. Oh, elk, mm-hmm. There's elk as well. And yeah, and they're, yeah, you can have your pick. And as far as muley deer goes, it's more about picking which rack you want as opposed to waiting for something to come out.
So do y'all have drawings for all your big game?
Yep. Yeah, we do. I put into it for a couple of years. I don't have time to hunt when hunting season comes around and don't have the interest. So I haven't in a few years, but yeah, you go online and it's like $5 per draw or something like that. And it puts you into each of the, you pick which draw you want and for which section you want. And it lets you get the, you know, it gives you an idea of where you want to go and hunt and things. But the only thing I ever got drawn for was, I think it was a whitetail buck and a white-tailed doe, and that was about it. But
okay, yeah, we just go buy them over the counter where we are,
so there's no need to, so like none of those things require a draw or anything.
No, we, and if it's white-tailed deer, we can get, what is it, it's one buck, two does each year, I think.
Oh wow, okay.
But they are so prevalent around here, it's not even funny. Illinois actually has a team of sharpshooters that goes out in the western counties, so the insurance companies don't have to pay for a deer that hit your car.
Do they at least? Oh, really? So if do they at least give that meat to someone?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
Because do you guys have chronic wasting disease anywhere near you?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So quite a few years ago, just before I moved here, they slaughtered hundreds, maybe thousands of deer here because they were worried about it. They tested them and it was so minuscule, and they just piled them in burn pits, and it was such a sin. Because I went to college with a guy, his dad was a pastor up in Alaska. And if you were below a certain poverty level, so if you didn't make a lot of money, you could get put on a list with Department of Natural Resources, and they would get calls, you know, a big moose would get hit in the middle of the night, and you'd have like 3 hours to show up and pick it up. But I mean, it was so cold, the meat would last, right? So yeah. Once a year they would get a moose that would be hit on the side of the road. So they just had a whole list of people that could get it, and he'd make moose pepperettes and jerky. Oh, so good. But I always thought that was really cool, because why waste it? Exactly. That's my big thing. If I'm going to hunt, if you're going to respect the animal, and you're going to dispatch the animal, you damn well better eat the animal.
Yeah. Well, my first deer was hit by a car.
Oh, yeah. That happens.
I shot it, but it got hit by a car.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. So the story on that, I'm sitting in my buddy's cabin. He's about 5 miles south of here. He's got a cabin back in the woods. And earlier in the year, he had seen this buck come running through, holding up its leg and one of its antlers hanging off. So, you know, season keeps going and he keeps seeing the deer come by and it's still holding its leg up. And then all of a sudden, you know, both antlers are missing. And then hunting season comes around and I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, hey, there's a deer come running in and it's holding up a leg. So I took the shot, and sure shit, that's the one I got. So earlier in the year, it got hit by a car, survived, and about 3 months later, I shot it. 4 months later, I shot it.
Wow. Huh. So I got a crazy deer story, too, and this one was really kind of cool. So when we bought our house down Digby Neck, it was down in a little cove, and it was a big old house, and there was an empty property across the road from where we lived. And there was an old guy there. His name was George Gavel. Every single year, somebody who owned the land lived from away. That's what they always said, you know, from Ontario somewhere. Once a year, they would pay him to bush hog that little property. So he'd go down and cut it all out. It was flat. There used to be a house there, but there hadn't been in decades. So we officially took possession of the house on July 1st, Canada Day. I want to say, I think it was 2010. It was either 2010 or 2011. Anyway, we were there and George came over and introduced himself and said, if we ever needed any work done, come and see him. So he's over there working and all of a sudden I can hear him cussing. So I go over to see what's going on. And he had done that property for who knows how many years. Well, that one day, his tractor tire hit a bump in the lot. It turned out it was an old dug well about 10 feet deep, and it had opened up a little bit, and his tire had got stuck. So I went over, and as he pulled ahead, he jumped back, and he kind of hollered. There was a friggin' deer down in this well. So it must have opened up. It must have been in full stride, and as it jumped, it went right down in. It was in rough shape. But it was still alive.
Wow.
So this was July 1st. My daughters have pictures on an old phone somewhere. So yeah. We called Department of Natural Resources because we didn't know what to do. And they came down with their tranquilizer team. I can't imagine what they got paid to come down on a stat holiday to do that work. But they drugged it, hauled it up out. It woke up, kind of shook its head and ran off in the woods. But it was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen.
Crazy.
Yeah. And the only reason it was still alive was there's a little tiny bit of water down in the bottom of that dug well. But it was, yeah, it was pretty cool. I'd forgot about it till you mentioned about crazy deer stories. But how about you, Ken? You got any weird stories or?
I was trying to think. No, nothing really. I mean, I've hit a few deer, but nothing crazy.
Have you totaled your vehicles or?
No, actually, I've been lucky so far. It's all been in my truck and they've all been really low. So I've either they went under the tires or just got the bumper a little bit. So I really haven't had any deer damage.
Yeah, I had a deer hit me, not me hit it.
So. That tends to happen to my dad.
That's an insurance thing, right?
No, that was a side door.
Okay.
Side door. And I got the horn marks, you know, that are perfectly aligned sideways right in the side of the door.
Oh, man.
My dad told me a story about his mother, my grandmother, that they were pretty poor and they lived down Digby Neck where we bought the property. And she was up in the window doing dishes one day. She looked down over the field and she saw a guy drop two deer right there. And it was out of season, totally illegal. And she thought, well, so she apparently put her overcoat on, ran down the bottom of the hill to the end of the driveway. She went over and looked at him and she said, you don't want me to call DNR on you, do you? And he's like, now I'm taking the deer home. She said, well, one of those deer is going to be in my woodshed and you don't have to worry about it. So later on, my grandfather come home. Sure enough, she said, go look in the woodshed, Roy. And he went out and looked and there was a deer hanging in the woodshed. So she got one deer out of it.
That's awesome.
I had to laugh. I them old timers, they were quite something. But well, I don't know. Any of you guys got anything else you want to share on the topic of guns or firearms or?
Well, kind of made our rounds.
What's that?
I mean, so it's kind of made our rounds on it.
Yeah, this was fun. This, you know, I know it can be a, what do you want to call it? A touchy subject for some people. And it's obviously a political subject, but frig, we had a lot of fun with this and there was no politics involved in this at all. Just a lot of fun stories.
No.
There was no other questions from the audience there, but we can, yeah, we've been an hour and 3 minutes. So we can wrap her up here, boys. Where do we find you? How about you there, Nate from Two Chicks and a Homestead?
You can find us at twochickshomestead.com. We do a weekly podcast. We got a update episode coming out tomorrow night. Nice. Just a couple things we've been doing here and there. So yeah, that's about it.
Right on. Cool. How about you there, Mr. Ken?
Find me at constructiveliberty.com. It's a Constructive Liberty podcast. I do a weekly episode, lifestyle design, and just how to live a better life.
You've been doing the TikTok thing quite a bit, or the Instagram reels. Which one is it?
A little bit of both. Yeah. You can find me on TikTok. I've actually got three channels, which I need to maybe eliminate one or two of them. But yeah, it's kind of fun playing around with it. I haven't had anything blow up yet, but just trying it out, see what happens.
Enjoying it. I like it. I like your style. It looks good. When your videos come up, they catch my eye, so I enjoy it.
Cool.
Yeah. And me, well, you can find me at the workshop. Three episodes a week of the podcast, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, 7 o'clock Mountain Time. Or come by the YouTube channel. I've got my tour review videos over there and Yeah, toolmantim.co. That's the easiest place to find me. Or here, you can catch me on the Fireside Freedom as well. But anyway, guys, I appreciate you. Thank you, family, you know, Fireside family who was here asking questions and sharing. Always appreciate it. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Ken.
I want to say, whoever's listening, go over to iTunes, to Apple Podcasts, and leave a rating and a review. We got a pretty bad review over there, so go counteract it.
Did we really?
Yes. Really? Should I read it?
Yes, read it.
Yeah, we'll make fun of
him. Okay, go for it.
He says, disjointed and boring. Hard to get through one episode. You have to wade through the host's nervous laughter, which is annoying, and dead air pauses and childish commentary in order to pin down their subject matter and get useful information, if there is any. A group of folks as unprofessional and scatterbrained as these shouldn't be doing a podcast. I may check in at a later date to see if this show has tightened up and found its focus. Anything's possible. So go let him have it.
That has got to be... Yeah, go ahead,
Mr. Nate. Shitty review person, anytime you want to start your own podcast, do it. That's your right? Thoughts.
Well, you certainly got to have, I will say, you got to have thick skin to do what we do. But mm-hmm. I would also say that whoever that was to come back and give us another shot, because we were learning, and it is a difficult process to start a group podcast and congeal as a group. So that review made my day. And
I had to laugh when I saw it.
Yeah, you can only make some people happy. Yeah. But you know what? They obviously enjoyed us enough to spend 5 minutes to write a review on iTunes. So there you go. That's our Liberty Meat. you know what? I did the other night on my show, I did my top 10 favorite comments I've got on TikTok so far. And I mean, they run all the gamut. But you know, I got one where somebody said I was a Biden lover and a Trump hater. And I'm like, because I did a 38-second video on battery-powered lawn care equipment. So, yeah.
Interesting. That's quite the conclusion to draw.
Yeah. But I can promise you we've improved a lot over the first 24 episodes we've done. So, but also, if this isn't your cup of tea.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. We're just here having fun.
Go drink somewhere else and go fuck yourself. So, there. Anyway, you guys have a great night. And we will gladly talk to you again.